Good day. I sent out an email earlier this week about someone who needed some wood cut. That's Kathy right here. And there's a lot of wood that's up there that she's going to bring some stuff in for her wintering. But if anybody can help her, a bunch of the trees are down. There's a bunch more trees. If there's a really good possibility you can have wood too. So she's going to share that with you. But just get a hold of Kathy if you're willing to help her get some wood in. That'd be awesome. Cassie, come on up. We want to pray for Cassie has a family that she knows that's in desperate need of prayer. So we want to pray for them right now. You want to tell them or you want me to? Go ahead. I don't want to repeat.
My friend Glenna, I've been friends with her family for a while now. They have a disabled son that's about 24. He's been in the ICU since Tuesday, and he was pronounced brain dead. And today, they have to pull the plug. But his organs are going to a project that saves lives. All of his organs are functioning except his brain. So they're all being extracted today at 11. So, yeah. Anyways, if you could just pray for the family. This is their second son that has died. Their youngest died of a suicide due to bullying. So it's just another freak thing going on. So,
what's their last name?
Conklin. So
let's pray for him right now. We lift this whole family up to you, Jesus. I know they're desperate for encouragement and support and help, hope for the days ahead, faith. I'm not sure whether any of them believe, but this is an opportunity for you through our prayers to come alongside them and comfort them, and we pray for that today. We pray that all their needs would be met, especially emotionally, that they would sense your presence with them, and that presence would change everything. We believe, Cassie believes that you're really in this whole thing, Lord, that you're not far from them, but you're in the midst of it all. And so we pray that they'd see your face, they'd hear your voice, and they'd be comforted by your presence, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
And pray for Cassie, too. I know this is really hard for her, and we lift her up to you, Jesus, and pray that you'd encourage her and strengthen her and let her be a source of hope and light for these people. Amen. Good girl. Yeah. It's hard to imagine how many people really need Jesus right now, but Lord, we pray that today your word would become life to us. Hope, strength, encouragement, Jesus. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 is really important to most of us because it's given us a framework for understanding how to operate in these days. You know, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists are gifts that were given to the church to build up and equip the church. Not people to work for the church or work on behalf of the church, but people that are to equip the church. And so if there are prophetic people, if there are prophets, say there was a prophet at Evangel, their responsibility would not be necessarily to prophesy all the time, but their responsibility would be to build up and equip the church to prophesy. If there were apostolic leaders in the church, their responsibility would be to release that blessing, that gift and anointing, and help mentor up other apostles. Same thing with teachers. If there's teachers in this group, their responsibility, I mean, teachers, not just people who teach, but people who are gifted teachers, their responsibility is to mentor other teachers. That's what this scripture is saying. It's not saying, I've given you these people to employ as staff members of the church. These are the people who are to equip the church to do the works that God has for us to do and to build up the body of Christ. And there's been a lot of different schools. I've been part of schools. You've been part of schools. How many of you have been part of a school of prophecy? Some kind of training in prophecy, yeah. How many of you have been part of, well, Don and Lisa have been part of the School of Supernatural Ministry that Bethel puts on. It's done over in Rainier. There's schools of evangelism, schools of biblical studies. Some of you have been to Bible college. Some of you have been, I imagine there's some people who have been to other types of schools that, and the purpose of these schools is like, the purpose of a school of the prophetic would be to draw people closer to Jesus and a relationship with God that would allow them to operate in that gift, right? The school of worship would be to draw people closer to God and draw people closer to Jesus, and so that they would get his heart of worship for the body of Christ and release that. The school of evangelism would get God's heart for evangelism. Are you starting to get the drift here? You know, these aren't to teach us to do things. These are to teach us to encounter God at a level which would allow us to move with him and move forward with him in these areas. So they're all to prepare, all these areas to help to prepare us for what's coming. I was having a conversation with another pastor in town over the 4th at the lake, and he which this is kind of a common thing, but he just asked me, what's God telling you? And I said, he's telling me we need to continue to prepare for his return. And he said, well, I don't believe that anymore. I think that we should just be thankful and grateful for where we're at right now. And I'm like, amen. You know, it's just like, it's not either or. We're to prepare for him. That's why we're here on earth, is to prepare for ourselves for the King, to prepare ourselves for his presence, to prepare ourselves for his coming. So I'm never satisfied with where I'm at. I'm always learning, always growing. I was reading some information out of the book that I recommended to you called Quit Church and last night. And I learned, and I read this chapter, and I learned a lot just from reading through this stuff about what I think and what I believe. And so I a lot of times read things that I don't necessarily agree with or I've heard before, because I want to find out what I think. It's not because I want to know what they think. I want to find out what I think. Those kind of things that challenge the way you think, challenge the way you believe, those are good things. It's good to challenge yourself to understand things at deeper and deeper levels. So what are the main things that come that being equipped for spiritual challenges give you? First one is truth. This is the reason why I'm starting a Bible study. I've been talking about being in the Word and how important it is for quite a while, years now. But I've never really done a Bible study. I've always just encouraged people to get in the Bible. But I thought, this is kind of crazy that I encourage people to be in the Bible, but I'm really not leading a Bible study. So that's the reason why I'm doing it. I'm going to start out with the book of James, then we'll go to an Old Testament book. But we're just going to walk through the Word and try to grow together. And so it'll give people an opportunity to, in a group setting, to try to grow in their understanding of the Word. It says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, study this book of instruction continually. I love it. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Then you'll prosper and succeed in all you do. Look what it says in Hebrews 4. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting. So it's sharp, it's cutting. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. And all that comes for our encountering the word. And then in 2 Timothy, this is Paul's instruction to Timothy as his protege as a leader. And he said, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. I love that. There's so many people who don't know the answers to those. They don't know what's true, and they don't know what's wrong in their lives. They think that what the Kardashians tell them is what's true. It's not. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us what to do, teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Did you know that was in there in 2 Timothy? God uses scripture to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Then relationships with other believers. He wants our relationships to be resilient enough to bounce back. So forgiving each other is really important. Not being offended is really important. He wants us to be able to respond to each other. He doesn't want there to be divisions in the body. He doesn't want us to just be so selfish that we don't realize what the people around us need and want. He wants us to grow in our relationships with each other. This is what Bob Goff says in his new book, which I, again, highly recommend. He wrote the book Love Does, and he's written a second book called Everybody Always. Catchy. Bob Goff said this, "I don't think God uses card tricks to get our attention. Rather, he gives us hopes and dreams and desires." Amen? He gives us hopes and dreams and desires. He gives us tenacity and resilience and courage. He's made us good at some things and horrible at other things. Amen. He brings joyful, beautiful, fun people into our lives and a few difficult ones too. Sometimes he changes the trajectory of our plans by taking away what we've comfortably known and letting us fly through valleys that are deeper and narrower than anything we've ever seen been through before. He does all that because he loves us, and he does all that because it causes us to need each other. It causes us to work together. It causes us to lean on each other. So being in the Word, the truth, relationships are a big part of growth, and then spiritual growth itself, the ability to lift up, support, strengthen, and encourage not just other believers, but everybody. And I really want to make this point today. All this that we're talking about is not just for the people in this room. It's not just for other believers, but he's called us to engage with everybody, every single person, whether you like them or not, whether they're beautiful or ugly, whether they're tall or short. People, he's called us to engage with people. So everybody's fair game out there and in here. Everybody you see. I just want to make that point. It says in Matthew chapter 28, "Go therefore and make disciples. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I've given." And then again to Timothy, he writes, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong in the grace that God's given you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." So there's this process that's going on in us. So the question I have is this: should the move of God that we're all anticipating, that we're all waiting for, that's beginning to emerge in the next couple of years, should it begin to emerge in the next couple of years? What areas of training will be most important to the church to operate in fullness? In a world that's growing darker and darker with an ever-increasing anti-Christian sentiment, where will the hope come from? Where's it going to come from? I guess we could all send everybody to Tracy. She's got that big old thing outside of her office that says hope. She could do it all, I guess, for us. That's her call. I mean, she's called to do it. Have fun, Tracy. Who will inspire the world not to give up? Who will love well and teach others to follow that lead and love well themselves? Who's going to do that? Who will encourage those who have lost hope? Who's going to do all that? Tracy, again. Well, today I want to paint a picture of a new school that I'm really excited about. It's called the Three Rivers School of Encouragement. Why do we need a school of encouragement? Well, what does this school bring to the table? Well, first of all, encouragement is an interesting word. And having a school of encouragement means that there's obviously a depth to it that we don't yet really grasp and understand. So encourage means to inspire with courage, spirit, and confidence, to stimulate by assistance and approval, to promote, advance, and foster. So all these words are important: inspire, stimulate, promote, advance, and foster. And then this is what the word says about the whole idea of stimulating and stirring up things. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, "Let us think of ways to motivate." Now, it's interesting that in every single version, there's that word's translated differently. Everyone, none of them are the same. "Let us think of ways to motivate." Stir up in the ESV, stimulate, New American Standard, spur on in the NIV, and provoke in the King James. Let us think of ways to motivate others, one another, to acts of love and good works. So acts of love and good works. We're not talking about stirring each other up in what we believe or stirring each other up with information. We're stirring each other up to do something. And not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That really encapsulates, I think, my heart for what we are supposed to be doing together. We're supposed to be stirring each other up and encouraging each other to do something as we wait, as we prepare ourselves for his return. It could be tomorrow, it could be today, it could be a week from now, it could be a month from now, it could be years from now. No matter how long it is. I mean, over 2,000 years ago, the first century church talked about it as if it was going to happen tomorrow. And it was to their benefit to do that. I think it's to our benefit too. Jeremiah 29, which is probably one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, God says, "For the plans, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for disaster," which we all cling on to. And he has a plan for your life. You know, that's where a lot of that idea comes from. But listen to what it says. The reason is, I want to give you a future and a hope. A future and hope. I want you to see that there's something ahead worth holding on to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, as you're already doing." And then Romans 15, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves, we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord." And then in 1 John chapter 3, "Dear children, let's not merely say we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions." And so encouragement is about action. It isn't just about patting somebody on the head and saying, "Everything's going to be fine. You're doing great. Jesus loves you. See ya." You know, that's not what we're talking about. That's not the encouragement. We're talking about encouraging people through activity, actions. So what this course of study is going to teach, train, and prepare individuals to do is to minister encouragement at a really high level. This is really important. That the whole school is based around this whole idea that you can encourage people at a really high level. So what are we doing when we pray for people? We're encouraging them that they can be healed. We're encouraging them that what exists in heaven, which is total health and no illness, we're encouraging them that what's in heaven can be pulled into the present and you can be healed right now. And it's a miracle. That's a miracle that that happens. What are we doing when somebody, Josiah and Jeff took a bunch of kids out yesterday and they cleaned up the neighborhood and just talked to people and gave them ice cream and got to pray for some folks. In fact, Josiah, why don't you come, Jeff, you and Josiah, come on up here and tell the story about the football.
So I was kind of, I've never done stuff like this, Jeff has, but it was pretty cool. There was like a lot of people, 10 people, and they all seemed pretty, they wanted prayer. Like, you didn't really have to talk them into it. Just a couple Wiccans we ran into, they didn't want it. But it was a good experience. Like, I'll let Jeff talk.
It was real fun. Justice was super excited because we took his kids, my kids went out. We canvassed the neighborhood. And he really wants to do it again. We got to speak with, a bunch of people. One guy that Josiah prayed for, this was really cool, I thought. Obviously was living in his car, and Josiah's like, "Hey, you want some free ice cream?" And he's like, "Sure." And then he goes, "Anything you want prayer for?" And he's like, "Yeah." He goes, I want to be sober. I don't want to do this anymore." And it's, he talked to the right man.
Yeah, I could tell him a little. Well, like, I quit drinking, like, it's been almost, it's like 2.5 years or something. And anyway, so I was able to just relate to him. I could just tell him, like, I could see where he was at. He was drunk. You know, he was like, I don't know if he just, like, just got done smashing one down, but, I mean, he was, you know, drunk and depressed. And, you know, so I could relate to just looking at him. He was just, like, trapped. He's just trapped in alcoholism. And who knows, you know, all the other stuff that starts stacking on you when you're messed up like that. So, anyway, I prayed for him about it. And at first when I left, I kind of felt like, oh, that was a little bit heavy or whatever, because I can't remember everything I said, but, you know, I prayed something about the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and then all this, I was saying all this stuff about alcoholism and to him, you know, like, and I wasn't really asking him for any response. I was just saying stuff to him. Well, then as I left, I thought he got up and was like kind of went around to his trunk, and I thought, oh, maybe he's mad or something. I thought, well, okay, see you later, you know, and started walking off, and he was like, dude, I want you to have this. And like, he gave me this football, and like, he rustled around in his, you know, he was kind of seemed maybe homeless kind of. And he like gave me this like nice football and like was like, I want you to have this, like threw it to me. And then he kind of like sulked off to eat his ice cream. Like, it got him thinking about, you know, his situation. But anyway, it's a nice football.
Well, I told Josiah, I was like, that's just what happens when you encounter God. It says that God loved the world so much that he gave. And so that for me was a sign that he had gotten experience with God. He's so grateful. And he was like, I don't know, I have nothing to give, but here's my football. And so I'm like, just get him, God. So anyways, but we got to do that. It was real fun.
Yeah, we had other cool stuff too. So that's, I was really awesome. Glad Jeff done that. So he knew kind of tips about just kind of how to.
Yeah, Jeff's great at opening lines. Tell him your big opening line.
Well, I don't know. Do I have one? Do I have one?
When I pray for people, stuff happens.
Oh, yeah. I have done that before. I've said that. There was one time there was a guy walking by. And I said, hey, man, when I pray for people, stuff happens. Like, so he was like, I said, can I pray for you? And he's like, oh, no. And I goes, no, man, I've prayed. And, like, people have been healed before in Jesus' name. It's crazy. And so, yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is that we were giving ice cream to this one gal that was working in her car. And I didn't know what was going on, but she was Skyping with somebody. And he started, like, asking her how her mom was doing and stuff. And then so she started asking her, go get your mom. Is your mom all right? And so he busted in on this lady's Skype deal. And I don't know, we were like bumping nucks and stuff after we talked to people. It was just funny.
That's what I'm talking about. Doing encouragement at a high level. And we did it all under the auspices, let's go clean up the neighborhood. Had no intention of really cleaning up the neighborhood. It wasn't really about that at all. It was about speaking into people's lives. It was about encouraging them. And encouragement is more than just have a nice day. Encouragement is engaging with them and letting the Holy Spirit move through you in a way that captivates them so that God can speak through you to them and encourage them, lift them up, pull them out of their stuff. There's no reason we shouldn't believe that this family has been encouraged by praying for them today. But I don't know when you're going to see them next, Cassie, but you're going to be different when you go because of praying today. Because there's confidence that comes with that and strength that comes with that. And so this course, this school, this two-year school teaches and trains and prepares people to encourage at a very high level. What could we do if we were even more confident, if we believed even stronger, if we didn't have any doubts, if we knew what it is, if we knew what it is God could do, and if we knew who we were in him, how could it change this whole region? So who might be interested in this school of encouragement? The course is designed for people who feel like doing something about the things in the world. They're tired of watching the news. They want to do something. They want to engage with people. And, you know, a lot of people get frustrated with the church because all we do is meet here on Sundays and talk. But that leaves us 6 more days a week, plus the rest of the day Sunday, to actually do this stuff, to actually be those kind of people. So it's for people who want to do something, especially about hopelessness in the world. With this training, the person who already expresses care and compassion towards people will be able to do things at a much higher level and really initiate life-changing things in other people's lives. The school's for people who are tired of shallow, surface-level relationships with people they care about most. They want to see things change. They are people who have a strong desire to walk in confidence and boldness in who they are in Christ and affect change in the world. They want to change the world. They want to be world changers. You may be sitting there thinking, who is he talking about? This is not me. I'm telling you, that's you. You guys are like that. You guys are like that. You don't like just talking about this stuff. You want to do it. It's about it. So this is what the curriculum for the school looks like. It's a two-year program. First semester is September through December, and then there's a one-week break in between. And these are the classes that are in the first semester: Identity in Christ, the Book of Acts Unpacked, and Life and Ministry of Barnabas. And Barnabas is like the son of encouragement guy in the Bible. There's amazing things that you can learn just by studying his life and the way he engaged with Paul and the things that happened along the road. The whole identity in Christ thing is a huge thing. If you know who you are in Jesus, you have so much more boldness, so much more courage, so much more willingness to go the extra mile and do things that you've... I mean, the coolest stuff in ministry is the things that you've never done before. It's not the things that you've done over and over and over again that you're confident in, but when you're confident of something you've never done before, like go on the top of Crazy Horse Monument and pound on a drum. I mean, I've never done that before. Now I have. Now I'm ready to go to the higher. I want to go higher than that. I want to see more happen. So, you know, it's moving out in your identity. And then the Book of Acts Unpacked, there's just a ton to learn there. So the second semester will start in January. And in that semester, these are the topics that will be covered. Dynamics of spiritual love, expressions of compassion in the American church. Creating expressions of compassion in the American church. There's a lot going on, but we defer a lot of it to ministries. We defer a lot of it to parachurch organizations like Love Inc. and CPC, and all the things that they do could be done by individuals. And they may be being done by individuals. Some of you give stuff away to people all the time. I like OfferUp. It's an app that you can connect with other people who want to get rid of their junk stuff. And so I was on there the other day, and somebody had a dishwasher that they were giving away because it stopped in the middle of the cycle. And it was a Samsung stainless steel dishwasher. Ours is like plastic upon plastic upon plastic, been around for a long time. So we're remodeling our kitchen. So I thought, I'm going to pick this thing up. It's only like 3 years old, but it doesn't work very well. So I went on eBay and found that I went on the internet, the World Wide Web, and found out that other people were having this problem, and the problem was the control board in the dishwasher. So I went on eBay and found one for $25, which I'm going to get tomorrow from in the mail. We'll see if that works, but I mean, a brand new dishwasher for $25. I've never worked on a dishwasher before, but I thought somebody out there knows how these things break and get fixed, and they did. And somebody knows that those control boards are really valuable to some people, and they are. So, you know, it's doing things you've never done before is exciting. It's exciting. Trying things that you've never accomplished is really cool. Dynamics of spiritual love is one of the classes, expressions of compassion in American church, and then communicating the gospel through action. The gospel isn't something on a piece of paper that you give somebody. The gospel is you being you around people who have never heard of Jesus or have heard of him and are really turned off by him. You're the gospel in their lives. What you say, what you do demonstrates to them the gospel. Then there's an outreach after the first year that summer, and there's a 10-day inner city outreach someplace in the United States that's going to be set up later. Then semester 3 starts in September, and the classes that are part of that curriculum are breathing the life of the Spirit into friends and family members, which will be really fun because that's where a lot of us get challenged. We actually are more comfortable talking to people we don't know than people that are in our families about the life of Christ and what's available to them. Inspiring business leaders. I think that business is going to become the environment where God begins to move in the greatest way. Because business people are motivated. They have a goal. And a lot of times what they don't have is the resources or the strength, intellectual strength to get to the goal they want to get. And God's going to begin to speak into businesses in a way that will change everything and cause them to be more productive. And it's going to be because believers are in those businesses, and they're saying, well, I've got an idea. How about doing this? I mean, remember when Scott talked to us about how he had influenced the people around his job and had changed things, that's going to begin to happen more and more. Not because we have a plan in the church to take the business mountain necessarily, but because you are being inspired by God to do things differently, and it changes the way business is being done. So we're going to have a class on that, because what that really is encouragement at a really high level. You're encouraging your business to do things well and do things with intention to accomplish a good goal. And then compassion in the end times. This is going to be really important to the church, because a lot of the church is going to be thrown off by what happens in at the end of days. When things start wrapping up, when God starts manifesting his power and strength to accomplish all the things that are in the book of Revelation, the church is going to be really thrown off, because it doesn't look like sitting in a building on Sundays anymore. Things are happening all around us all the time. You can even sense it right now. How many of you have noticed how the news has changed in the last 3 or 4 weeks? It's weird. It's weird. This is not an endorsement or a knock on anybody, but I can't believe that in America we're talking about our president in such a way. It's strange to look, to turn in on the news and then say, the president of the United States is a liar. That's weird. You know, that we have so little honor for that position and so little honor for that person that the news media is making these concrete statements about somebody that's leading our nation. That's not a commentary on anybody in their performance or what they're doing. I'm just saying things are changing rapidly right now. Yeah. And they're not going to change back to the normal. We're not going back to the way that it used to be. Once people get the idea that by saying anything they want, they can change the course of things, they're not going to stop. What is the church going to do about all this? How are we going to respond to that? Are we going to shrink back into our buildings and say, oh, sing me another song? You know, let's all pray together. We need to be out there in the midst of it, speaking hope, speaking life. And this school is designed to equip people, to train people, to be able to encourage at a very high level, speak hope at a very high level, to love at a very high level. I mean, Bob Jones went to heaven and was sent back to earth because God wanted him to learn to love well. That's what we're talking about, loving well, loving at a really high level. And then the last semester, semester four, is going to be spiritual disciplines that feed encouragement, what it is that we do in our lives that will feed encouragement, feed our ability to inspire people and to speak hope. Supernatural transformation with words, cooperating with the Holy Spirit in miracles. And then there's going to be an outreach at the end of that. That's going to be a 10-day outreach outside the United States. And all this is designed to take encouragement and raise it up to a level where people that come out of this course are not going to go out and talk about stuff. They're going to do stuff all the time. They're going to do things. And it doesn't mean you quit your job and this is your full-time ministry. It means that you're going to, in the midst of your job, Jody does this all the time. She works at Peace Health, which is a Catholic organization, which in their whatever the thing that's mission statement, it talks about healing. The healing, what is it? Carry on the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. She took it seriously, and she uses that as an excuse to pray for anything that moves. And she does. She prays for people left and right. And she's like, if it's in our mission statement, they can't stop me from doing this. Well, no, you can't. You have to wait until they initiate something. Oh, what? That's not what it says in the mission statement. She hasn't gotten in trouble yet. She's come close. But, you know, it's that kind of thing where she's taken it up to a new level. She's found a way to do encouragement at a really high level. When you pray for somebody that doesn't think anybody cares about them, that doesn't think anybody knows about them and their stuff, you've gone to a much higher level, because they don't anticipate that anybody cares about them and anybody has the power enough to pray for them, let alone see something happen. I love the look on their face when you say, can I pray for you? And they think he's going to go and pray in his prayer closet somewhere on Wednesday, you know, and then they realize, no, you're talking about right there and then. How long have we been doing that? 30 years? 35 years, you guys are already trained to take prayer to a higher level than anybody expects. Most people who aren't part of the church do not expect you to stop and pray for them right there. They don't expect that to happen. But you're already trained to do that. You've already been trained to not just settle for praying for people from a distance, but praying on them right there. So what do you expect to get out of completing this school? First of all, confidence in God's love for people, all people. Confidence in his love. Because there's some people you just think, there's no way God can love this guy. You know, look at the way he looks. Look at the way he acts. Look at the things that he does. Look at the things that he says. And you think, there's no way God could love him. He does. That's somebody's son. That's somebody's daughter that's been praying for them, that somebody would walk up to them and breathe life back into them again. And there you are standing in front of them, and you can change the world right there. The confidence in God's love for people, all people. The second thing is a willingness to engage people, all people, where they are and help them move forward. This is a big deal. It's not just about getting people saved and joining the club. It's about helping them move forward in their life. It's about speaking things into their life that will give them hope to go into the day tomorrow with a different attitude. It's about, you know, inspiring them to do the thing that God's called them to do. It's about lighting them up and giving them encouragement and giving them juice. That's what you get out of this whole 2-year course, is that ability. I mean, and the third thing is the boldness to encourage people, all people. There's someone to believe in, a reason to have hope in the future, to open the door to themselves, to experience the power of God for freedom, life, and love in the days ahead. That's the kind of people that come out of this course. That's the end result, is not having a piece of paper that says I finished this course, but being changed. And so everything around you is like on alert, because you're weird. You don't just talk about this stuff, you do it. You don't just dream about this stuff. You've got plans that you're ready to put into place to change things around you. You're going to change your house. I mean, Scott and Christina built a house recently. They built it in a way that would allow for small groups, or large groups. I mean, it's really built for small groups. They built a house for ministry. Bob and Marge bought a building in Kalama, a box, a big box, 3-story box, a big building in Kalama, with the intention of doing something with it that will inspire people, that will cause people to look to Jesus. Who knows how that's going to work out? Who knows what the plans are for that? But, you know, it's that kind of boldness that doesn't just hope for the best for people and, you know, pray for people like a pat on the head, but really gets in there and moves them to a higher level and moves them forward. Those are the kind of things that this school is going to accomplish. I have to tell you one thing, though. The school doesn't exist yet. But it could. Last Sunday night, we were in the room, and Jim came up to the mic during Deep Roots and said, let's just ask the Lord to reveal heaven's perspective on what's happening tonight. And while we were waiting for about 5 or 10 minutes, the Lord spoke to me and said, what would it be like to have a school of encouragement? And I kind of blew it off, because that's kind of weird. I mean, school of encouragement, what's a school of encouragement? And then I started thinking about it a little bit. What would it be like to encourage people at a really high level? How would it change this region if we encourage people at a really high level? And then about 10 minutes later, Lisa stood up. Why don't you come up and share what you shared that night, just to, because it impacted me. And I think it will impact them too.
When Jeff spoke about the school of encouragement, I knew right then that it was completely the word of the Lord. And normally I don't listen to self-help things. I've never believed in that. I've always thought, self is nothing, let me get Jesus. He's the only one who can deliver me and set me free, right? So I've never been somebody who's listened to anything like that. And about 8 weeks ago, the Lord started having me listen to motivational speakers and listening to people who are coaches and what they do and start to implement that in the work environment. And what I've noticed in that 8 weeks' time of implementing that into the work environment is we have watched, I have some incredibly skilled people who work for me, but in that incredible skill, some of them still are kind of like Eeyore, you know, it's poor, poor, pitiful me, or they point fingers and things like that. And we started to use these tools, and we've watched people who are incredibly skilled become positive and have hope and start to see things. And we watched work performance change, and we've watched unity start to happen in the work environment. And I knew when Jeff was speaking, it was like, oh my gosh, this is so real. And I've watched it. It's so tangible. The Lord wants to touch every aspect of our lives with encouragement. So we're created to be in fullness everywhere we go. And as he was speaking that out, he was talking about some Navy SEALs that he had talked about on Sunday morning, and just their unity and the way that they're for each other and that there's no competition, and the Lord was just saying, this is really me. This is me in action. And it was interesting because we started to pray those things out, and as we prayed those things out, there was a place where we started to pray about evangelism being loosed in the city. And Debbie came up and she started to loose the anointing on her life into the city. And the very next day, I had an encounter where I was able to speak into the life of an 18-year-old kid at 10:45 at night that was just struggling and a mess and sobbing and crazy and just, he's on the street, and I was able to, I'm talking to a friend, and for some reason, just the Lord just all of a sudden turned around, because we're facing the street as we're talking, and turned around and immediately said to this guy, are you all right? And just the words, are you all right, made him start to sob uncontrollably, and he was snot sob, you know what I mean? Nothing pretty about this. And shaking his head and saying no. And I knew that that encounter was the fruit of having someone who walks in the gift of evangelism loose that on the city. And it was like, because that was loosed on the city, there was a grace for me to be able to do something that I don't normally do. You know, I don't normally at 10 p.m. turn around and talk to a tweaker and say, hey, and not care whether or not there's some, you know what I mean? I mean, it was so much that this guy took, he reached into his pocket and he took his meth pipe and he threw it on the ground and he shattered it and he shattered his drug on the street. You know, he physically had action to what took place. That's what happens when we actually lose something in the spirit. There was a grace that took place because I knew there was a level where I've hit, but I knew I've never gone past that before. But I knew that there was somebody who walks in so much more of that than me, and asked that person to loose it on the city. And there was this grace that happened. And that's what will happen in the school of encouragement. When we take that up a level, that's what's happened in our business. When you come underneath the anointing of someone to speak something and you start to engage with that, it really does transform it. And that school that Jeff is talking about right now in every way, this is truth. We can engage this school. We could really be all that he just framed up for us. We really can. There's so much grace. I can't even begin to tell you how much grace there is, because I'm somebody who really doesn't notice people walking by me. I mean, I've walked past people in this congregation and they've thought I've ignored them or not paid attention to them. And I swear to you, I just didn't even know they were there. I get so into my own mindset and my own head that I don't even notice people. And So for that to happen, there was such a grace that was loosed. We can do this, you guys.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. The curriculum, I sat down in 10 minutes, wrote that up. It was in me. It was in me. I mean, not the curriculum itself, but the topics. If I was in a school of encouragement, that's what I'd want to hear about, is those kind of things. You may think that I'm trying to sell you on a school that I want you to go to. I'm trying to sell you on a school you could teach. Right. Yeah. Not something that you could buy into as a product. Not something you could buy into as a product, but something you could actually... The reason I did spend all this time and work framing this up for you today is because I thought there might be some people who actually thought, we can do this. Come on up.
It's interesting. I met with Jeff this week, and he mentioned this story and such. I thought, that's weird. But he started outlining it in this. I thought, this is cool. And what Lisa said, my company is going through kind of a pruning and transformation as well. And the people that are getting put into place, or the Lord is putting us into place, is going to be doing exactly what Lisa has been doing, except, you know, listening to motivational stuff. We've done that. Some of this, it's like things are changing. Things are moving. And I was sitting here saying, oh, I'm getting excited for this. And so I thought, I told Tammy and I are facilitating this Wednesday. And so we were coming here, and I told a few people, and he said, oh, do you want to say anything about it? I said, no, because people will be afraid to come. Because it's going to be challenging. But we're going to do what we did a few years ago. We're going out. We're going to do exactly what happened to Lisa. The Holy Spirit took her somewhere to this person. We're going to go out, and we're going to do what we used to call treasure hunts. If you want to be pushed, if you want to be stretched some, and it isn't weird, we had some great times when we did it a few years ago. That's what we're going to do. And I've been hearing some little snippets of other people that are doing Wednesday nights doing the same thing. It's time to get out. It's time to start encouraging people. It's time to start touching the people around us. That's what I'm getting, reading this. It's like, we can do this. Tammy's asking, I wonder where it's going to be held. Wonder who's going to do it. We need to start doing it.
It was so much fun. It's hard, so hard to keep my mouth shut and not tell people what I was going to do. And I did tell a couple people. I had FaceTime with Jenna on Saturday, and she's just finishing up a book. She actually was in Columbia finishing up her book. And she came back, and I told her about what I was planning on doing. Because, see, this just happened last Sunday. All this came out of what happened last Sunday at Deep Roots. And she goes, I want to teach in that school. And it's like, well, yeah, because that's what she does. She just encourages people. If you know anything about her ministry isn't necessarily prophetic and isn't necessarily prayer counseling. It's really about inspiring people and giving people hope back and breathing life back into people.
I have to add this because it really started Sunday morning when Jeff was teaching, and he asked us to cross over, right? He asked us to cross over. And what I wanted to make sure that we don't miss out on is that those of us who agreed to cross over, there was an action that took place in our hearts and in the spirit. And if you agreed with that, then that really took place for you. And it's really just letting go of old mindsets. That's all it is. It's just a battlefield of the mind. But when you let go of those old mindsets, there's so much freedom to have just stepped into it. So I just want you to know right now that if you said you were crossing over, if you stood up, if you agreed with that prayer, if you embraced what Jeff was saying, this is all available to you. And if you didn't, then it's available to you now to make a decision in your heart to cross over right now. That guy that was on the street, the thing that he kept saying to me over and over again was, why are you so kind? And I just really want a family. Do you know how many people out there just really want a family? That's what happens when we cross over.
And I just got to say, this can happen anywhere because, like Lisa said, she doesn't notice people. I'll even go out of my way not to notice people sometimes. So we were in Africa getting ready for the revival or whatever to take place. Debbie needed to use the restroom, and we walked over. I walked over with her towards the restrooms, which were foul, to say the very least. I mean, and there's this guy sitting there on the grass, and I walk by him, and he says, "Hey, I'm supposed to talk to you." And I'm like, "What?" You know, and he's like, "No, I'm supposed to talk to you." And I could barely hear him, and I bent down to talk to him, and he was about to lose his family because of the ball of heroin he had in his pocket. And he said, "You know what? God told me to talk to you. So it's not always going to be us who notices. It's going to be them who are spoke to reach out to us." And that guy threw away that ball of heroin, same thing. And I said, I walked over and picked it up. I said, "Don't come back looking for this later because it's not going to be there." And I took it, and it took me about 15 tries to flush it down the toilet, but it went. And but I'm just saying that, you know, it can happen anywhere, anytime. You know, be ready, because it's like, it's not about us.
So after Sunday night, I spent Monday just kind of trying to process some of that stuff, because I think, I mean, when Jeff said that, it just came alive in my heart. But so Tuesday, I was watching television, and the well-known theologian Sig Hansen was on. And actually, I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was just a cut for the Deadliest Catch, a teaser thing. And this is what he said: if you want something you do not have, then you got to do something you have not done. And it speaks exactly to that crossing over, you know? So, yeah, if you are tired of church, right? If you're plateaued, if you're stuck, sorry, for what you pour into that, yes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Father is so much more. Our yes would be like the tip of the iceberg, maybe, yeah. And his is the 90%, right? Yeah. Apart from him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else want to interrupt my sermon?
I was on a roll, and you guys... No, I'm just kidding. It's so good to be around people who will let you dream and let you try things new. And, you know, it was fun taking something that came Sunday night and developing it into something that didn't exist but could, and presenting it in a way that it was already there, it was already in place. Think what we could do if we actually took that step over the line and actually did it. I mean, there's a building in Kalama that's being prepared for something. There's all kinds of possibilities. And the crazier and darker and the more antagonistic the world gets, start getting excited about that. Instead of being fearful about it, start getting excited, because the crazier the world gets, the more you're going to make sense. The more the hope, the inspiration that you're going to bring, the more it has a place to find a home and find a place to strengthen and encourage and build people up. If something like a school of encouragement existed, we could change the way Christianity works in this region. Change it. We could change it. Because the school would never be designed to gather more knowledge. It would be designed to loose a generation that would engage with the world. Everybody. I mean, it's not just about praying for people that are in the church. It's about praying for everyone. Amen? So, I don't know what the Lord wants to do with that. You do? What?
Okay,
come up here, because if you can. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, Debbie. I know better than that.
I'm getting old, Jeff. When Jeff was saying that, it was just like the Lord downloaded in my heart. You know how, like, you always tell people, well, we just got to get together, and it never happens. Well, what, you know what? Next time you see him, yep. We just got to get together, and it never happens. I believe what the Lord's saying today, are you going to say yes, stop, you know, step across this line, get behind Jeff, and say, you know what? We're doing this thing. We're doing it. Not, oh, yeah, maybe down the road we need to do this. We need to set up a date.
Yep. Oh, they're already in there.
Well, then, sorry. Anybody willing to pick me up at the airport if I'm flying in somewhere? Because I'm in. I'm in. I think we just need to make the commitment, and then there's no going back. If we're committed to each other, we'll do this thing.
So there.
Huh.
Kathy wants to do it.
So we all say, yeah, whoever, stand up, whatever. Just do it.
But I haven't prayed about it yet, Debbie. I don't know if this is what the Lord wants me to do. Doesn't that sound just stupid?
Yes.
That's the point. That's the point. Dwayne.
So I just want to respond to the action thing, and you're speaking about the action thing as well. And I think that Sandy and I have for years admitted that we are people that are responders more than we are people of people of initiative to initiate things, everything. And so I'm reminded of the action that was required of Joshua whenever God spoke to him and Moses had died. And they're on this side of the river, heading for Jericho. And God says to Joshua, remember my servant Moses, things to remember that we've been taught. And he says, he's dead. But now take these people and be strong, be courageous. Be strong and courageous, he says it a number of times. But this is the part that sticks out to me. He says to Joshua, every place you put your foot, I will give that to you. And so he says this because they're headed for a promised land, a place that we've been told that we're to enter into, that is God's milk and honey for the nation and for us, for the kingdom of God. And he says, every place, action, every place you put your foot toward that promise, I'm going to give it to you. He didn't say, my angels are going to come and grab you by the heel and put your foot forward for you. He said, every place you put your foot, I am going to give you that very land. So we have to take action. We have to act upon, just like worship. Worship is an action. It's something that we do so we enter into the presence of God. It's action, it's initiative, it's initiating ourselves into the very things that our heart desires, everything our soul is panting for, everything we crave, everything we know that is truth. We want to enter into it, but we have to step our foot forward to see the kingdom come.
Very good. Very good. So we're going to start writing songs that encourage people at a high level. Yeah, yeah. Let's stand. And why don't you just turn to somebody and put your hand on them. We're going to pray for each other. Just one person. You don't have to go both sides. You can only turn your face direction one way, so just pick a person that you're going to pray for. Or a couple. You could pray for a couple people. Just pray for him.
speak over their lives that they're ready for a new thing. To let go of the past and be ready to move forward. Speak over them the grace to do something they've never done before. That they be bold and courageous, like Dwayne was talking about, like Joshua. They be bold and courageous and not shrink back. Jesus, we are following you. We're going the direction you want to go. We want to hear your voice, and we want to respond to you in obedience. It's you that we're following. It's you that we're moving towards. It's you that we're after, Jesus. I pray your blessing over us as a people. We do what you've called us to do, Lord. So you guys have that outline? Just go through and figure out which class you want to teach. Have a great day. Bless you.